family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
This Friday is National Grief Awareness Day. And before we get to that day, we wanted to normalize the conversation around grief. I came across a population-based study for adults ages 40 and up. And this came from the National Library of Medicine. They reported that about one-third of the people surveyed experienced severe grief after the loss of a loved one. So what does that mean? Well, it was associated with physical and mental health problems, as well as increased use of health services. So how do we grieve properly? And how do we also just normalize grief? Because it looks different for every person. And Julius Dudix is back with his insight into this and to give us some advice. Hey, Julius, how are you?
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, it's a great topic because there are so many people, if you haven't faced it recently, you will face it in the future. It's bound to happen. But grief always produces a strong variety of emotions from anger, fear, perhaps depression, worry, sometimes even guilt. And these feelings can scare us, you know, and we've got to kind of learn how to process them in a healthy way. And sometimes when we've experienced like a major loss in your life, these feelings can just kind of hit us like a wave and just knock us down. And if you don't deal with them, it takes longer to recover. And I've often been asked, you know, well, how long am I going to grieve? How long am I going to grieve? Melissa, you said it earlier in your opening remarks, you know, everybody's grief is personal. And typically, most experts say, psychologists say 6 months to 2 years. But, you know, people are different. But the key is to really understand the importance of grieving and how it helps the body in terms of even your physiology to release some of the tensions and so forth and to cry.
Mm. You know, it's interesting, Julius. I think you just debunked probably one of the biggest misconceptions about grief, which is that you need to move on and you need to do it in a timely fashion. There are people that I've met who are still in some regard. I mean, they're getting up, they're going to work, they're, you know, they're socializing, they're doing what they need to do on the surface, but they grieve the loss of a parent or a sibling or a child or a spouse 10, 15, 30 years later. And, you know, if you ask society, they're going to tell you that that's ridiculous, but you're saying it's not.
No, it's not. It's really not, because there's a psychological tie to a loved one. And sometimes for some people, it's just harder to let go of that. But then they have to get to a point of saying, what do I gain from allowing that to keep me paralyzed? I'm more concerned, Melissa, with what not to do when you're grieving, if that makes sense.
Let's get into it then. I mean, what shouldn't you do when it comes to the grieving process?
Yeah. Live in the past. As much as you want to try to normalize your life again, because it's all about getting back to a new normal without the loved one, you don't want to live in the past, but you do want to remember the past. And so there are some positive things you can do in terms of memorials, plant a tree, that kind of thing. But you don't want to dwell in self-pity. You lose respect for your body. A lot of times people just kind of fall apart physically. They don't take care of themselves in terms of self-care. To isolate is probably the worst thing you can do. Too much isolation is no good. Yes, you need your alone time. You need your time to sit quietly. I understand that. But if the habitual behavior develops into an isolation where you remove yourself from your network, then that's what not to do. A big one, Melissa, is substances. You know, too much, you know, instead of one glass of wine, I'm going to have five glasses. And
right, abusing
and,
it.
Yeah, abusing. Yeah, that's another thing not to do. So all these things, you know, and even more, when you don't reach out, because there are so many things you can do to help yourself with grief. And a lot of times it's hard to feel the emotion. It's hard to feel the pain. It's hard to really reflect upon a loved one. And nobody can understand your own personal grief.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to understand that grief is a part of life, and it's how you deal with that that really matters the most, and whether or not you give it power over you to cause you to stay stuck.
So Julius Dudix is here. He's our morning show counselor, and we're talking about coping with grief, how to grieve in a proper and a healthy way. And that could take you a very long time. So don't let anybody put a time limit on how long you can grieve the loss of somebody.
Yeah.
Julius, here's a tricky one, because you sort of touched on it, but it's I think, a little bit different. The idea of keeping somebody's legacy alive, or keeping their entity sort of alive. And what I mean by that is, you know, for example, when my grandmother passed in 2020, pretty unexpectedly, we really, you know, we feel her presence is gone. But something that we do, you know, especially with our son who really misses her, is we'll, for example, if I go to the grocery store and I buy angel wings, which is like an Italian cookie that she loved to have. She always had them stocked in her kitchen, and Chase would, you know, go in and get them. I'll have them sometimes, and he'll come home and be like, "What's this?" I'll be like, "Well, I guess Graham Cracker wanted to make sure you had something here." So we're keeping her like memory alive, but a positive thing he sort of resonated with her. But there, to me, could be a line that you cross when you're keeping people alive. So like you mentioned, for example, memorials. I mean, there are people who like won't change the bedroom that this person lived in, or won't get rid of the clothing. Like they almost do imagine that someday that person will return back home. Right. I mean, there is a fine line there of keeping the person alive in some regard. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There's one. I know one individual. She did not touch her husband's slippers for months and months and months. They stayed in the exact same spot they were when her husband had the heart attack. And that was just it's kind of a psychological tie to the individual.
That, well, it's like you're accepting it.
Power over you.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's everybody's grief is different, but you have to learn how to grieve appropriately, because there are, Melissa, online so many grief share groups that I highly recommend. When you connect with other people, when you hear their stories, there's a catharsis, there's a releasing, a letting go. And that's really at the end of the tunnel. It's what you want to do is to let go of the grief and not give it power and control over how you do your daily life.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about grief, and a lot of times, naturally, when you think about people grieving, you immediately think, oh, they lost a loved one, right? Or they lost a pet, or they had a miscarriage, right? We always kind of think about grief as being associated with death, essentially, dealing with the loss of someone or something. But what's interesting is we don't think about other triggers to grief. For example, a relationship ending, a divorce. Even if you can't stand the person, that still in your mind is a failed marriage. Losing your job is another one. Yeah. Retiring. You finally see, after 50 years of being at the same career, you're walking away from it, even though, oh man, retirement, that's great. Get to chill out, relax, sleep in. That can actually trigger grief. I mean, loss of a friendship, losing your family home. This one I love. This is, and again, this is on helpguide.org. Loss of a cherished dream. Now, Julius, the reason I'm bringing this list up is because if people think they're not going to experience grief, you are sadly mistaken. And why I say that is because I've lost loved ones before. But I think we're so trained and so programmed to figure out how to grieve, most of us grieve that loved one and continue to move forward in some regard in our lives. It's sometimes the situations that you never saw coming. And when you grieve, you don't do it in a healthy way. For example, I mean, I grieved heavily when I left the television industry. When I had Chase and I went through postpartum depression, I never in a million years prepared for postpartum depression. And it so rocked my world that I quit my TV job. I moved back to Connecticut. I left a state that I love, left behind a team that I love, everything. And those 9 months after I left, I realized that I was grieving tremendously, and I couldn't put a name to it. And I didn't realize it till afterwards that I thought, wow, I'm grieving a career that I put so much time and energy into and I saw doing for such a long time and it was gone in an instant. So I think it's important that people realize that grief isn't just associated with death. And that's why it's so important that everybody learns healthy coping mechanisms with grief and handles it in a healthy way and then teaches that to the next generation. If you have children, I think this is such an important topic because it does relate to every single person who cares about anything in this world.
Yeah. And Melissa, things don't happen haphazardly in life.
Correct.
Things happen for a reason. And for you, you've got the chutzpah to tell your listening audience, you know what? I did suffer from a bout with depression. And that's so powerful. That is just so powerful because now people, your listening audience, can say, wow, if Melissa experienced this, maybe I'm normal. Maybe I can experience the grief. Maybe I can grieve a job loss, or maybe I can grieve a lost relationship or a failed marriage or the big one, a broken dream. Anytime your dream breaks, there's a grieving process, but you use your pain for purpose. Mm. And that's one of the healthy ways at the end of the tunnel. You want to, in the process, use your pain to help other people to deal with their pain. Not that it's the same, but it's just the idea that I want to really channel my energy toward positive acts of reconstructive behavior. So how do you deal with the grieving process? The first thing, as always with anything, you got to acknowledge it. Acknowledge your pain. And that's so hard for some people because they never even get to that. You know, they kind of shift, blame, rationalize, oh, I'm not feeling this, and so forth. Meanwhile, they're manifesting their pain in other forms of negative behavior. Mm-hmm. So acknowledge, accept the fact that grief can trigger a variety of emotions. And some of those emotions are scary. And you're done grieving when you're done grieving. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, how do you help people go through grief? Sometimes just your presence to sit with them. Sometimes the deeper the pain, the fewer the words. Understand it's going to be a unique process to you when you grieve. And then seek support for sure. Make sure that you join a grief share group or talk with people who are going to help you. A lot of times people in the grief process need to slow themselves down and not make major changes right away. Mm-hmm. That's a healthy thing to do, just to slow down and process the grief. At the end of the tunnel, I always say you want to release your feelings to God because people are going to let you down. You're going to let yourself down. But there's power in releasing and understanding that there's a sovereign God who cares for me. So be it a job loss, or be it a failed marriage or a broken dream, there is a sovereign God who is in control of my life, who loves me. As a Christian therapist, I can share that with my clients and say, let's cling to him and let's look to him for strength because he will never fail.
Mm. And I think, too, you really hit something else, Julius, which is if you feel like this is something that has really, you know, held you down or has controlled your life, is handling the grief, the loss of something or someone, to get help. And I will say, I do see Julius personally. He's not just somebody who comes on this show. I am proud to say that I've worked with Julius many times in the past personally. I love working with him. If you want to learn more, you can go to njcc.online. You also can reach out to, you know, any counselor that you feel fit to help you with grief, because there are a lot of things in strategies that you can do to help yourself get through and deal with the grieving process. You know, planning ahead for grief triggers like anniversaries or holidays, milestones, for example. I mean, there are a lot of things that you could actively be doing while you grieve the loss of a loved one or the loss of a circumstance, doing it in a healthy way and not holding yourself back in life. And so, Julius, I want to thank you for having this conversation with us ahead of National Grief Awareness Day. It's so important, and I appreciate the work that you do for so many.
Thanks, Melissa, for all you do. Keep at it.
You're very welcome. And again, if you want to connect with Julius off the air, you can by going online to NJCC, Non-Judgmental Christian Counseling, NJCC.online.